Good morning. Welcome to our roundtable panel for this Friday, the 4th of September. Very nice to have you with us on this glorious day. And let me introduce you to our glorious panel, and then we'll get to our topics and you know, welcome you to be a part of the conversation as well. Making up the group this morning, WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. Good morning, Joe.
There it is.
Mic'd and ready.
How you doing?
Doing fine. University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter, our good friend Rosemary Armeo is with us.
That was such an evil laugh.
Well, I was telling you before, I was enjoying while off for 2 days. I'm not here, but man, I certainly saw the mail that came in.
I don't know what he's talking
about. Yeah, no, no. Never happened.
It's very funny. And the man who was nice enough to fill in, WAMC's Ray Graff is here. Good morning, Raymond.
Good morning, Joe. How you doing?
Oh, it's over here.
Yeah.
Yes, good morning.
That's funny. Yeah. I mean, I have an excuse. I'm worried about my performance at the Guthrie Center.
I wondered how you were going to work that in.
By Saturday the way, did you know that Alan's group, the Berkshire Tumbleweeds, are playing at the
Berkshire Guthrie Ramblers? They are not the Tumbleweeds.
The Tumbleweeds.
No. Is that at Helsinki Hudson?
No. It's at the Guthrie Center.
Sorry, at the Guthrie
in
Center.
In Great Barrington, 413-528, 1955.
And that's the annual benefit, right?
It's our benefit to them. Thank you for trying to make up to me, Ray. Yeah. Whatever your name is, Ray.
And you got the hay bales ready and the sawdust? Turkey in the straw. It's going to be fun. Hootenanny.
Oh, Hootenanny. And that's this weekend?
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun.
And yeah, but is this weekend?
This weekend on Saturday night.
On Saturday night at 8 o'clock?
At 8 o'clock. 8
o'clock.
You can get there at 6 and have a little drink or something.
Is there a meet and greet with the band prior?
No.
Never mix with the public.
Do you have a...
We are the public.
Do you have a... I assume this is a hot ticket, so our ticket... Oh,
there's only 100.
All right.
And most of them are going.
Yeah.
If not gone. So, you know, again, 413-528, 1955.
Yeah. And you'll get a chance to meet WAMC's Joe Donahue, who will be there at the event.
No, there will be a lot of WAMCers. The band is primarily made up of WAMCers.
Oh, okay.
So, who's
well,
the current
Donna
lineup?
Frank.
Brian Shields.
Alan Chartok. Brian. No, he's with Ray.
Okay. Yeah.
We play some of that rock and roll music. Do Cat Scratch Fever. It'll be very exciting.
Dingleberry, I believe. Yes.
Oh, boy.
Dingle music.
Now you've done it.
All right. Now, what is the... I'm sorry. So what is the... What? Who else is in it?
Oh, our chair of our board, Joe Brody.
Okay.
And he's the singer.
The lead singer.
Yeah.
Roselle Chartok, married to the band.
Playing the green tambourine.
Green tambourine.
Rosemary,
and
are you in this group?
I'm feeling very left out.
Oh, I feel badly for you, Rosemary.
Yeah. I'm sure you could do something.
I'll come be a group.
Why don't you do it'll be like one of those beat poets. You go on, you do a monologue about the first ladies while they play some music backgrounds. I tell you what, that Martha Washington, she was a creep.
No, she wasn't. Ray's hot today.
Well, all right.
Oh, boy. Hey, Joe, I see you're back on the sauce.
I know.
Pepsi
I had a bad.
You had a revision, or what do they call that when you
relapse?
A relapse. Yeah, a relapse.
Yeah. I mean, yes, sort of, no. But
yeah, no, yeah. I've been very good.
Okay,
I was addicted to this stuff.
Do you want to talk about other topics?
Passages Malibu at some point. I was an addict for 12 years. Now I'm not.
You guys like the fact that I'm wearing a T-shirt today as opposed to my tie and red.
It's very nice. It's very nice.
West Stockbridge Market on it.
Yeah. Getting ready for your sort of folksy Saturday show.
I'm very glad that I came back today.
Really?
We're glad to see you. And we're glad to see you.
I'm taking
it easy, have you?
Yeah. I think that's obvious. What happened? What happened to this show? All has got.
Believe
right?
me, nothing that you couldn't see coming a mile away. You know.
All right, let's get on to what's happening in the world, and and shouldn't we get to that? Given the time, let's talk about this Kentucky clerk who I know we've talked about this issue, but now she was held in contempt of court yesterday and is being jailed for refusing to issue gay marriage license.
And her deputies are under constraint issuing the licenses.
They are issuing.
But what
the
was
license.
Interesting, Joe, is that they announced that one of her deputies was her son. You know, we wouldn't want to do that here.
And she worked under her mother. She got the first. She first had the job with her mother. So
it's
a little
what
nepotism.
They call that premature primogeniture.
Yeah, get born into for, the that's for kings. Yeah,
yeah. You get but what's great is she's sitting in the pokey, which is where she should be. Except that I think it's probably helping her to solidify her, you know, her thing with her public and her voters. And I have a feeling she's going to probably be sitting there for a long time, because she can get out the moment she wants to get out by saying she'll do the license.
Isn't it easier just to fire her right off the?
You can't.
She's
not
fired.
Yeah.
She's elected.
Elected official.
Recalled.
Her situation is rare. For the most part, even the most ardent opponents of same-sex marriage have followed the law, with gay rights groups reporting that the vast majority of county officials across the country are issuing marriage licenses to all gay couple to all couples, gay and straight. But on the other hand, the prospect of a wife, mother, and longtime public servant sitting in jail to defend her beliefs will probably inflame the debate over how to balance the rights of gays to marry with the ability of people of faith to freely exercise their religion,
which I think she well knew. She likes being a martyr. She'll probably write a book about it, and she's where she belongs. She should resign. In this country, you have the right to believe anything you want, but you don't have the right to take a job that requires you to do something, and you refuse to do it.
And she has religious principles. Come on now. You know the religious principles in the Bible and all. Now I read somewhere that she'd been divorced several times. I think three times.
She's been married three times.
Yeah. So that, what part of the Bible does that jive with?
She says that's irrelevant because that all happened before she joined her current church, which
has made her
aware of God's
law. By the way, Rosemary, that's a great point. I can't tell you how many criminals who've done heinous things end up saying, okay, but that was before I found God. So God becomes
God
the great forgiveness.
Here's the
thing. Marrying more than one time, I don't think is a heinous thing.
Oh, no, but it was sorted. She's
no,
pregnant
no,
with
it
twins.
It is
with
sorted.
The,
no,
yeah,
I definitely sorted.
No, I agree with you. But I agree with you, Joe, and I stand corrected.
I just didn't
I stand corrected because a lot of Americans
we've
have
got enough mail because of Rosemary. I didn't
well, yeah, well here's, here's the thing about her. I think she's a traitor. She belongs in jail. She needs to be out of that job, however she gets out of it. However, I do not like, and I guess I'm partly guilty of this too, all of the jokes about her looks and her person. What is it called? Slut shaming. She's not a very attractive woman. She's plain. And so there's all this stuff about how come somebody so ugly gets married four times. And, you know,
I hadn't heard any of that.
Oh, no, it's all over the internet.
And
it's
I
all
heard it
over.
Either.
It's just like, remember Catherine Harris, the woman
yes.
who certified the Florida election for
sure.
Jeb Bush. And all we heard, Jeb Bush, for George Bush. And so all we've heard about for weeks was, you know, her bad makeup and the way she dressed has nothing to do with the way she had the job. There are plenty of reasons to dislike and to criticize Kim Davis, but her look should not be one of them.
Well, I couldn't agree more, but I think this is a little bit of a red herring because Joe and I don't know about, had not heard this part of what people were saying.
Yeah, but that's because you guys are old and don't listen to social media. You don't look at
ouch.
It. I certainly
am old.
You are.
Yeah, Rosemary, you're a young scamp. I'll tell you that.
I'm young at heart.
It's on Twitter, it's on Facebook. All over social media, but I just didn't see that part.
I'll send you all an article. I'm hardly the first one to point this out
to.
There are other people writing about why she's the latest victim.
I have no doubt that you're right. I just am, I hadn't heard it. That's all I was saying.
Yeah, I was just sticking right to the principles of the thing.
Oh, yes. You're so principled, right? That's what you do.
Wait a second. No, come on. Now, that was a straight statement.
He's got a gig tomorrow. Be nice to him.
Cheap shot.
Where's that gig?
The gig's at the Guthrie Center, Saturday night, 8 o'clock.
I wonder what the phone number is.
I don't know, but bring your own tumbleweeds. That's the main thing.
Oh, and somebody wrote about you, Ray.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Jerome wrote, Ray's coffee. I want whatever he's drinking.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you know, it is always 5 o'clock somewhere. I mean, that's the thing.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back and
tumbleweed
and continue the fun right after this.
Tumbleweed.
Support for WAMC comes from Fulton County Tourism in the Southern Adirondack Park, fishing on their 44 lakes, camping, hiking, biking, boating, and summer events. 44 lakes, 44 choices, 44lakes.com. Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York. Women owned and operated with a combined 70 years experience. Eye exams by appointment, 518-459-2638. Godfrey Financial Associates, Glenmont, New York, celebrating 20 years of providing retirement planning and wealth management services for baby boomers and beyond, an independent woman-owned financial advisory firm, GodfreyFinancial.com. And Albany's Down Tube Bicycle Works, offering seasonal tune-ups and custom sales at their temporary next-door location, 466 Madison Avenue, Facebook and DowntubeBicycleWorks.com.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue, along with Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Ray Graff. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. We have a couple of letters, so let's get to those.
Okay. John says...
A palate cleanser, if you will.
Sure. Sure. Everyone's missing something regarding this woman, the clerk. There are churches that are welcoming that have no problem with same-sex unions. By refusing to issue marriage license to same-sex couples, this elected official is violating the religious beliefs of those other denominations.
Right.
Government officials using their beliefs to violate the beliefs of others is clearly in violation of the First Amendment to the Constitution.
Good point.
Michael says, taking another view, Michael says, moral objection. Isn't it wrong to jail someone for not obeying the law because of their moral beliefs? Should we have jailed an Alabama bus driver for not making Rosa Parks sit at the back of the bus, or a 1939 German shopkeeper for hiring a Jew? You get the point, and that's from Michael. Rosemary?
I do have an answer to that. That bus driver didn't break a law. He was following the rules of his bus company. It then went to court after Rosa Parks raised the the point.
Good point.
And after that, when the rule of law was that people get to sit any place they want, regardless of their skin color, you didn't have bus drivers making people go to the back of the bus. That's what's happened here. She has the right to object, but she lost. And the Supreme Court has ruled that it's now the law of the land. So her options, she can believe whatever she wants, but she cannot not do her job. She's not doing her job, and she should quit. She should get a different job where her religious beliefs are not threatened.
And Rich says, if a district court judge can take away your religious liberty protected by the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution and throw you in jail, what else are they capable of? I'll tell you what they've done, says Rich. The Dred Scott decision in 1956 was a slave, his master surgeon, who traveled with him to the free territory of Minnesota. When his master died, the surgeon's wife inherited Scott, who sued for his freedom and lost, remaining a slave. And Plessy versus Ferguson, an activist Supreme Court, citing the 14th Amendment of all things to rationalize the opinion that equal but separate is equal. The railroad companies were forced to provide separate quarters, segregating blacks from whites. And he goes on, and that's what I'll read, that much. Okay.
All right. So,
wait. There's one more.
Oh, okay.
If I can.
This just in.
At first, says Peter. Yeah. I felt a bit of sympathy for Kim Davis because her conscience is at odds with the law. I've been there. But now, if she doesn't want to let her deputies issue those marriage licenses and she won't resign her office, it's clear she wants to force her beliefs on others. So I say the H with her, Peter, in New Paltz.
I mean, if she truly believes in what she says she does, then she should be fighting to change the law, to reverse the Supreme Court. That's happened before. But to deny people who think differently the right to get married, it's just reprehensible.
So the group that is representing her, Liberty Counsel, I believe, says that they will appeal. So how long do you think this woman will be in jail for?
Well, it depends what she wants. If she wants to make the point and to solidify her relationship with whoever her constituency is, sure, she's an elected official, then, you know, she probably won't mind sitting in jail in order to make the point. There have been many people who have done that. Rosemary, you have colleagues in the journalism profession who, to make the point of not giving up a source, will sit in jail for a long time.
Is she sentenced to a certain time, or is she
just
in jail until she knows?
Until the day she says she wants to get out.
Okay.
So, I mean, she already turned down a deal that would have allowed her to stay out of jail by allowing the deputies, ordering the deputies to do what she won't do.
And she refused.
And she refused that. So, I think she's doing this to make a stand, and the comparison to journalist is not a bad one. She's making a point.
But at some point, she's going to say, all right.
Well, she's got kids. You know, she's got a life.
Apparently.
Jail is not, apparently, a lot of kids. And she's not, you know, it's not pleasant in jail. It's a hard thing. She is making a sacrifice.
Depends on the jail. Barbara says, the judge offered to let her return if she didn't interfere with her employees issuing them.
Right, that's the deputies, which are now doing that job.
As the county clerk says, Stephen, doesn't Ms. Davis have to sign divorce papers as well as marriage licenses? While the Bible doesn't say anything about the same-sex marriage, it does say divorce is a sin. Well, we've already been through that.
Yeah, depends on the Bible, which one you're using.
We don't think divorce is a sin.
Which hotel you get it out of. We'll be right back after this break. I know I've said this before, and I know we've been, you know, there have been comments, negative comments about it. But I'm just saying that if we collected the comments during the breaks and put those on a CD and offered them during the fun drive, I think Alan would have his wish of a one-day fun drive.
And we would all be
fired.
We'd banned from the airwaves for a very, very long time.
Yeah. But we're getting a lot.
We're getting a lot of good mail. And
here's an interesting one.
No, and we're getting some interesting mail too.
Alan, you were quote talked over, so not sure what you were going to say. I think I heard that that makes God a great forgive. To be sure, it is my experience that God is a great forgiver. And our sordid past does not need to govern our present or our future. Well, David, you may well be on the money in terms of your views, but I wasn't talking about that at all. Didn't say a thing about it, and just wonder how it came out the radio that way. Don't you think? Did anybody hear it?
No.
Yeah, a little.
You did not hear it.
Yeah.
I didn't say it.
Well, you didn't say it.
I actually think it was me saying that Kim Davis believes that what happened in the past should be forgiven just as her God forgives all that. So it's not fair to bring up her past trespasses, like having kids with men who are not your husband and getting divorced multiple times.
Well, Grace
giving
said,
jobs to your sons and all those other things she did. Not that I'm bringing them up or anything.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Okay. Grace said, clerk, the Kentucky clerk appears to be making a sacrifice. However, the reality is that fundamentalists are funding her and her attorneys making this jailing highly profitable situation for them.
Do we know this? That would be interesting.
I don't know that.
Do we know what?
Do we know
that
this?
She's getting funding from some fundamentalist group and that they're making money off of it.
I don't know if they're making money off of it, but they certainly are. They're the ones who are providing the support, the legal support. Hmm. So they may not get money, but they certainly get the attention, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And Dan says, my brilliant wife asks, wasn't that clerk sworn into office with her hands on the Bible? It does send a mixed message, doesn't it? I guess that goes for all oaths sworn for government positions, and that's from Dan. Huh. And then EJ says, good morning, all. I just want to say I feel sorry for the woman who denied marriage to the gay couple. It's just sad that she and others hide behind religion and pretend that Jesus sat around a table at the Last Supper and told them to be nice to one another, but make sure to discriminate against certain types of people. Please, give me a break. Okay, is that.
Good letter.
That's a good letter. And hi, guys.
Hi.
Roundtable is... Want to say it again? Hi, guys.
Hi.
Round day was my favorite part of the day now. It's like going to my 9 a.m. class. I just wish it would last longer. Let's make it a two-hour show. I thank you for your thoughtful discussions. I learn every day, and that's from Ildo. Okay. And Kay says, she's holier than thou. She's been married, divorced several times, became pregnant by another man other than her husband. She's a typical hypocrite, and that's from Cher. Okay, Irene says, the shady dealings of the New England Patriots have long been documented. How gamblers have said nothing is interesting. Without gambling, pro football would not be a center stage. Then we might move ahead as a nation dealing with real problems.
Oh, give me a break.
No, I think this concept of the politics of distraction is very important.
Come on, bread and circuses?
Well, come on. You see these ladies with the black strip across them?
What?
Yeah, you know, Desnudas in Times Square.
Yeah,
Alan's that's fascinated with
that's
them.
More important than the football.
Fascinated with no.
You bring it up on every radio show I've been with you on it for a month.
The point really is that this is the politics of distraction. All this stuff is the Deflate Gate, the Desnudas, is that
Desnudas,
what Desnudas thing. It's all to get everybody's mind into another place.
So it's what the Koch brothers are behind the whole football and nudie.
Actually, I hadn't thought about that.
I'm sure they are. They're in a back
room
with
conspiracy
Mr.
Theory.
Burns from The Simpsons working it all out, no doubt. Give me a break.
Okay, isn't the Bible but biblical punishment for adultery, stoning, says...
Only in Colorado.
That's Sharia law.
And Ken says, want to hear some outrage from the rich wing? Find a Quaker City state clerk that will refuse to issue concealed weapons permits because of religious conflicts. Okay. And
I like that comparison. I read that yesterday. How would the country react if a Quaker clerk said, No, I'm sorry, I can't give you a gun permit. I don't believe in violence.
It's interesting. Do you think the old movie channel plays...
Turner Classic Movies?
Yeah, Turner Classic Movies plays stuff... when it's interestingly related to what's going on. So, for example, Friendly Persuasion was on the other night.
That's interesting.
Remember that? It was a great movie.
No.
You didn't think it was a great movie?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it was terrific. It's about
a
Quaker family.
That's your homework. You need to go look that up.
And Civil War.
Right.
And at what point do people feel that even though they have... certain religious beliefs that in order to save your family and save your country, you do what you have to do.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's when your civic rights and your religious rights clash. How do you resolve it? It's a very interesting topic.
Well, there's a W.C. Fields Festival on tonight, so I'll be watching that instead.
Can you do a little W.C. for us?
No, I couldn't really do it.
Yeah, you could do it.
No.
I know you. Our best mimic in the newsroom, I guess I'm giving this away, is Brian Shields.
Oh, yeah.
Brian Shields can imitate anyone.
Can he do you?
He does, and he's done it, and when he does it...
Very well.
He is hysterical.
And he's done it. He can do every president going way back.
Yeah,
George Washington.
Wow, okay. Yeah. And I know where
his Barack
going
Obama
after the show.
Is dead on. And his, I would say, Governor Cuomo is dead on as well.
Wow.
Yeah. You'll never hear
I'm
it on the
sure
radio.
I'm not sure about the first ladies, though.
No.
Can you do Jackie Onassis?
Oh my gosh. I hope you're watching on WAMC.org. I hope you're watching. That's all I can say.
The problem is worth the price of admission. Oh, man.
But if you're watching it, Ray, because I've tried watching it.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a time delay, right?
So watch it now.
But the sound is not always consistent with what we're saying is not consistent with what people are doing visually, right?
Well, if you're listening on the radio and watching the stream, you are correct. But if you're listening on the video stream, then of course it's in sync.
I got it. Okay, thank you for that clarification.
Thank you very much, and thank you for bringing that spurious technical issue up. I appreciate it.
Well. You know, you're certainly not shy about bringing our deficiencies.
Really? What time is the gig?
We have thousands of people dying in Europe. Are we going to talk about that?
I would love. I want to talk about that. Are we good? We're good.
Good.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's get on to. Thank you, Rosemary, for being the voice of reason.
Oh, she is always.
Here we go. Actually, let's take a break. We'll sort of.
Change gears.
Look, we've been laughing, and now we're going to go into a very serious story.
Yeah,
I think that's difficult.
You're right.
Okay, that's
so
right.
I would like to take a break and come back so
she's
we can
print
start
person.
Into.
She's
always
a,
the voice of reason.
Radio
all right?
Channel.
Yes.
Because then we're
going
to get the letters about you laughing about this horrible situation, and we're not.
No.
Okay?
No, we're not.
All right.
All right. Rosemary.
Whatever you say, you're in charge.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Watercolors by Edith, Shutesbury, Massachusetts. Edith Huntsberger, a painter in acrylic and watercolors, specializing in portrait paintings of people and pets from photographs. edith-huntsberger.artistwebsites.com. Evoke Style in Stuyvesant Plaza, presenting their new shoe salon featuring women's footwear with a range of styles and sizes. EvokeStyle.com. And Capital Wine, corner of State and Lark Streets, in the heart of Albany, offering local, domestic, and international wines, spirits, and special orders. Tastings, Fridays 6 to 9, CapitalWineAlbany.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Amid the biggest wave of migration to Europe in decades, fast-growing smuggling networks are spiriting Syrians and others to the continent, law enforcement officials say, and there are few limits to the sophistication of the efforts. The 71 corpses discovered in a truck on an Austrian roadside last week are only a grim glimpse of a fast-expanding wave of human smuggling seizing Europe, said officials who are charged with hunting the smugglers. Vans that once may have been used to smuggle cigarettes are being used for the much more fragile cargo of human beings. On social networks and in person, migrants can pick from a menu of services ranging from a slippery seat on a rubber raft to Greece, all the way to charter business jet straight to the refugee haven of Sweden. And this is an article that I'm reading from the Washington Post, which is basically talking about how this is a growth industry of, and certainly the tragedy.
$1 billion business.
It's certainly the tragedy of, right, the 71 refugees has brought this to mind. Yes.
Well, what really has brought it to a fever pitch was the washing ashore in Turkey of a little body of a three-year-old boy,
yes,
Syrian
absolutely.
Refugee.
And we talked about that.
Yes.
And the picture was worth it because to do it, it may have been exploitative, but I tell you, it was great, Rosemary. I know you and I agree on this because nobody will ever forget it.
We do. And even it had an effect in Great Britain, for example, where the tabloids have been obviously, just like Donald Trump, you know, they're depicting the migrants as swarms of criminals and bad people who are going to hurt our country. And after this picture ran, people saw a different side to it, and the Brits have announced that they are going to allow, and I think it's 4,000, it might be 5,000 more refugees in. But even the words we're using are wrong. A migrant suggests something voluntary, like, oh, I want to go to Britain, I want to go to Germany.
Right.
These are refugees. These are people whose lives are in danger if they stay there. To me, the comparison is Europe just before World War II, when Jews and other persecuted people were dying to get out of that area, and no one would let them in. And we appear to have learned nothing.
And interestingly, that's why I have such admiration for Angela Merkel.
Yes.
Because she's doing the right thing. And if you just parse what she's saying a little bit, you go right back to the years you're talking about. And she's basically lifting the right finger, not the wrong finger, to her people and saying to them, let's not forget who we are and who we need to be. In this area, and I have great admiration for her.
You should, and she's not been effective so far. That's bad. And in contrast, you have Hungary, which is building a Trump-like wall across its border to keep out refugees who don't even want to stay in Hungary. They want to go through Hungary to places that will accept them. But the Hungarians are keeping them out and saying, "Oh, it's Germany's problem."
And
they're throwing it at an Angela Merkel. I don't get that. What do they have to do with Syria?
Sure. By the way, there are two things I want to say about this. Number one, you hit the nail on the head. This is not a European problem.
Nope.
We are talking about 11, 12 million people who are undocumented in this country. And we have this guy who is basically playing the right wing, which we see in these other countries, saying return them and send them back. And I'm not going to tell you how to do it, but setting that mood in this country and having great appeal to some people. The other thing I want to say is that the body politic can be affected by who's here. I mean, I don't have any doubt that the fact that we have people who are undocumented in this society is going to change the way we think about things. The superstructure of the, or the infrastructure of the country in terms of who's doing what jobs that weren't going to get done otherwise, and they're going to get changed. The body of politic is going to be changed. I happen to think it's good. There will be people who think, you know, that that's bad. Ray, did
you? Well, I just think there's a distinction to be made between refugees, who, as Rosemary says, really have no choice. They got to get out. Mm-hmm. And immigrant, undocumented immigrants who do have a choice.
Mm-hmm. And the line is drawn where? So, for example, you're living in one of the drug-infested cities where people are getting record numbers of murders and things.
Maybe then you're a refugee?
Right.
I see.
So, I mean, so the people fleeing from Africa where ISIS is threatening and the economy is controlled, I think they're refugees too. And the United States doesn't have to accept more people. We should be supporting perhaps places I've mentioned, Lebanon and Germany and Britain and Sweden, which are accepting refugees.
Isn't the UN, wasn't that sort of built for this?
It was, but again, UN is also an agency of the United States. We put the most money into it. We're not using the UN or our own State Department to help.
There are many, many.
Let us, let us take a couple letters on this subject, and then we'll move on to two other things here before we break for the weekend.
Okay, there are a lot of other subjects taken, but thank you, Rosemary. I wondered how long it would take one of you to address the issue of refugees in Europe. We as a nation seem to be willing to go to a country armed to the hills to try to resolve an issue. Here we have the opportunity to actually do something that does not involve arms. What can we do? There must be some way we can help the European countries handle the situation. Any thoughts on the subject? And everything else is on Kim Davis, as I see it. Oh, except for Elias, who says, I want Brian Shields on the air doing his impressions.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Or Eric, who said, today sounds like the news with cocktails. What are you all drinking?
Later on.
That's Fox Pop.
That's Food Friday is cocktails.
John Fisher and company.
But there must be, by the way, Joe, there must be 30. Kim Davis letters that have...
Well, if you
no,
got 10 minutes if you want to go on,
no,
we're
no,
just
I think
not going to get to anything else.
No, it's your show.
Okay, well...
No, I mean it. No, I just wanted you to know...
By the premise, by the gag.
I just want you to know that there are a lot of letters on this, and we've read most... I mean, I can't imagine that there's much we haven't discussed already.
Yeah, okay. Let's go to the Tom Brady and the
something really important.
The suspension has been overturned, and now it is being appealed. The Daily News, their headline, Judge Pricks Goodell's Balls.
Oh, yeah.
The New York Post, they're still your balls, Tom.
Oh, jeez.
Do you think these guys, the News and the Post, I've always thought they must have spies inside each other's...
Of knowing...
That's so obvious. Did you really need a spy? Come on.
You mean
that's
just... Like, just
well,
obvious.
Yeah, but you don't want to have the same thing, right?
Right.
You don't
want
to... I have a question about this story. Can
yes.
you explain to me, you sports guys, what it was that the judge thinks wasn't done fairly for Brady so that he had to overturn this?
Yes, but...
Okay.
No, you go.
I think that the issue came to be of whether Roger Goodell was
right.
the person that Tom Brady was treated fairly in this particular case, that because he was the sole arbitrator on the issue of whether he was of whether Brady was treated fairly in the case, especially the main contention being that because in the Wells report it says that he did not.
Right.
Cooperate,
right.
but it was never said that if a lack of cooperation would lead to a lengthened suspension.
And so this is really a collective bargaining agreement. This is more of a union decision than whether it really wasn't about whether Tom Brady
it has
actually
nothing to do
did
with Tom
it.
Brady.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, Tom Brady says I didn't do it. I didn't know and I didn't do it.
So it now, appears that appears that the judge upheld that.
I would think so.
No, not really. He says that he wasn't treated fairly in this case. And it gets to be more of an issue. This has now been appealed. It's going to go for 8 to 12 months.
Right. Or more.
This probably won't even affect Tom Brady at any
His
point.
His hair will be white by the time they do
this. He's 38 now, right?
Right.
He'll be retired in 2 years, maybe?
Right. So by the time, you know, two more appeals and this thing is going to, you know, by the time he's in the Hall of Fame, maybe it'll be over.
Exactly.
But it still really isn't as much about him as it is about how much power does the NFL have in court? How much power does the NFL have in being able to lay down these suspensions
to discipline
mm-hmm. their players, and it's a union versus owner
issue. That's a good explanation.
And so the commissioner heard the appeal.
Right.
So the commissioner who made the original decision also, it's like going to a judge and appealing the sentence, and judge is saying, "Well, obviously your appeal is ridiculous."
Okay.
So
I get it.
The big question for me is how many hours Goodell has left as commissioner.
Why?
Because ultimately he answers to the owners.
Yeah.
And ultimately, now he's been in several high-profile cases where there is egg on the face of the commissioner and on the NFL.
I've heard two sides to this. I've heard one side, which is they don't care because they're still making a lot of money.
Yeah, well, there's that.
The money that Goodell has brought in and the percentage of the money, the increase in percentage of the money that he brings in is astronomical, and they're not going to do anything to the golden goose.
Hmm.
There is also, as you rightly point out, that every time the NFL goes to court, they lose. So, yes, what is it about this commissioner who is ostracizing and ultimately doing, perhaps, a concern of some of the owners, that he's doing great harm to the game.
If the brouhaha over this forthcoming concussion movie with Will Smith if there's any truth to the buzz behind this, the NFL will have a huge PR problem.
Which is, just for people who are not familiar, is that Roger Goodell was a part of this in some of this decision making and was rather dismissive of some of the original claims of the concerns of concussions.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Really interesting. Did you hear about the Dunkin' Donuts that has granted lifetime free coffee to the judge who made this decision?
Nice.
Cool.
It was a fan happy decision.
Fan. Yeah. Well, yeah, it depends. I mean, the fans are all over
the place.
It's over
$75. But I don't know if he can take it.
The good news is Brady gets to play against the Cowboys and beat them, which is good in week two.
Actually, go Pats.
Yeah, so, and I mean, the one thing.
Go Giants.
Who ultimately won last night?
The Giants? No, I have no idea.
That'll
be the only thing they win
this year.
I don't
know. It was 6-6 in the fourth quarter, and it was really boring,
the game,
and I
mean?
Turned it off. Yeah.
Oh, that game meant nothing. But
yeah, I know. Okay.
Who cares? Well, we care.
I don't.
Right?
Well, clearly none of us
By the way, the Berkshire Ramblers will be at the Guthrie Center tomorrow night.
For those of you who are boycotting football,
check your Bo Weevils at the door.
All right. And final story, which I thought was really interesting, is this story about Jorge Ramos, who is. You may remember it was
Ramos. Didn't we
Ramos.
Have a correction about
Well, I believe it was Jorge Ramos.
And I was just criticized severely for Angela Merkel.
Yes.
What?
Somebody said I got
it
wrong.
Well, you said Angela, not Angela. Yeah. But you know,
there's always one. Yeah.
It's gonna
they
be
majored
this
in English.
Okay.
Or speech.
I listen to our listeners, though. Ramos.
Okay.
Right.
So
show's over.
Mr. Ramos was the journalist who was thrown out of the press conference by Donald Trump last week, and then brought back in, and some great controversy over that. This man has been compared to the Hispanic Walter Cronkite, I believe he's been called. So the article here basically has to do with the issue of how much he is a journalist and how much he is an advocate or an activist. Rosemary, do you want to?
I will talk about this because I think it's a really good point. You make a decision when you're a journalist who deeply believes in something, whether you're going to fight for that cause or if you're going to fight for being a journalist, getting out the news and acting straight down the middle. You must do that to be a journalist or you're just not effective. You're not believed. And many journalists do go over that line and they pay a terrible price for it. I have a friend right now in Azerbaijan who is in jail, and she's going to be in jail for 7.5 years because she did a lot of stories about corruption of the first family. And she knew she was in danger. She knew they were going after her. She could have gone out of the country and continued writing in a safer place. She chose to stay there as a patriot and as a symbol of what the government was doing, a symbol of repression. That's noble and it's fabulous, but she wasn't really doing journalism. So she made a choice, and that's great. I think that Anna Poyaskaya, the famous Russian journalist who was killed for her reporting on Chechnya, she crossed the line between being a journalist and she was an activist. And she was then targeted by, if not Putin, then by enemies of Putin. She made a choice. And I think this guy has done the same thing. I think that he has a very noble cause in saying our immigration policy stinks and Trump in particular is dangerous and saying awful things. But it does call into question his journalistic ethics and his credentials.
I'm curious about your friend who's doing time. Mm-hmm. So, but she was reporting truthful things about
the... Yes, absolutely truthful.
Then how is... If you're reporting truthful things and you're not slanting it, how is that crossing a line?
Because she gave up being a journalist. She just stopped being a journalist after the initial stories when she was unknown and made a name for herself. Very important. And then that was it. She did no more of those stories. She became a symbol. She was walking in protest. She was fighting the government.
So she wasn't jailed for reporting as such.
Oh, no. The charges against her were, get this, because they're trumped up. The charge was she assisted a friend. She urged a friend to commit suicide. The guy did not commit suicide. He said, no, that's not true. But that was the original charge. And when that fell apart, then they charged her with tax evasion. Mm. It was all trumped up. But she knew it was coming. And so she made the choice to not continue writing, someplace else and write, but to continue protesting. And it's important. I think she's very brave and wonderful, but she's not a journalist anymore. Interestingly, a lot of her work is being done by others of us, by other investigative reporters who have taken her notes and her sources.
We are out of time. I want to thank you for writing in. If you would like to still do so, roundtable@wamc.org. You can also go to our website, which is wamc.org/roundtable, and read that and put your comment there. Alan and Rosemary and Ray, thank you very much for being a part of the conversation this morning.
You're welcome. I got to get my tumbleweed.
All right.
When is that again? Tomorrow night?
Saturday night at the Guthrie Center.
8:00?
Pickett's son.
8:00.
Yeah.
By now they should be gone.
Okay. And if not, the number would be...
413-528.
God.
Pickett's son. 1955. Pickett's son! Get me out of here.
All right. Ray's got to go. He's got to make a phone call. We'll be back after this.